Hello, I'm Kay Thompson, and Gus Henningberg is listening in. He's not here with me, but he will be here, you know, later on in the week, and probably next week, we hope. So, Kay Thompson here, and this is the Kay and Gus Show. I love that opening music, and that is something that was composed by Ty Washington, who's the CEO and head honcho here at BW Moving Images. We're located right now, we're broadcasting or cable casting or broadcasting right from Jersey City. And let's see, our online engineer is none other than Shauna Glover, our studio engineer and producer, Ty Washington. And Ty number two is engineering tonight also, I think. Ayana is here, Ayana Jones. I know you all know Ayana Jones. She's a Nassau and she's a singer. Boy, can the lady sing. She can really sing. People used to say things like, boy, she can sing. Remember when people used to say that? Okay, producer Lisa Payne and also Eric Payne. We're going to be talking about a number of things. By the way, you all, you know, we are the News, Information, Education, and Global Communication Nation broadcasting, or what I call blogcasting on Blog Talk Radio, and we are live. Just in case you want to sit, you know, call in, the number for you to call is 323-679-0906. That number is 323-679-0906. And by the way, you know, we're going to be talking. No. I have to mention this. Did you guys know that around the area of the new stadium, around Lyndhurst and around Secaucus and around, what is that, Route 3? Boy, this is going to be really something with traffic. But I was looking at the Star Ledger in the paper, and lo and behold, it says here, Formula One's legendary cities, Monte Carlo, Monza, Istanbul, and now Weehawken? Well, listen, there's a possibility that the Grand Prix of America might be added to a list of different things happening around that area. These are the big car races. Remember a few years ago they did that? Well, you know, you really need to pay attention to the news, everyone, because this is going to be really, really something. It's going to be bringing a lot of business into that area. And but another thing that what it is also going to be is a heck of a lot of traffic, by the way, because when you try to get to the football games here at the brand new stadium and all that kind of thing, it is a mess. So, whew, boy, but it will bring money into the area, no doubt about it. Well, I want to tell you one thing. We're going to be talking to Kai Patterson, who is the founder of the Custodial Support Foundation, and also Eric Payne, who is going to be guest hosting with me, is on the line too. And Eric is calling from California. And we're going to be talking about the Custodial Support Foundation. Now, this Custodial Support Foundation provides custodial parents with programs to receive child support and non-custodial parents with services to provide child support through their regional child support agencies. Now, this is a real problem because the child support problem in America is huge. Unpaid child support has reached more than $100 billion in the United States in 2011. Now, for instance, 2011, in America, one out of every 50 children spend at least one day per year homeless. That is absolutely outrageous. You know, outrageous. So we're going to be finding out exactly how this is being developed by the founder of this nonprofit foundation. His name is Kai Patterson, and Eric Payne is on the line right now, I think. Eric, are you there? Eric Payne, are you there? Do we have Eric on the line yet? Okay, we are getting him up. Let me give you some more statistics. When we review the important statistics, about child support in America, of the estimated 12.5 million parents with child support orders that are owed arrears, approximately 75% of the non-custodial parents can afford to pay support, but they refuse. Okay, there are an estimated 2.6 million outstanding serious misdemeanor and felony warrants in the United States that has taxed the U.S. judicial system, which has made child support warrants a low priority. Now, you know, this is really annoying because the people who are suffering are the children. And this is the day of, you know, low wages and the days of losing, you know, jobs. This is here. This is with us right now. We are in a very difficult way in the United States because of the fact that there are just very few jobs. We are trying to get jobs. People are out and demonstrating in the streets. You've seen the Wall Street support people. You've seen the supporting organizations out there in California and a number of other states all around the country. Everybody is complaining about the fact that there's just not enough money to go around. There's not enough jobs to go around. College tuitions are high. Actually, they're so high that kids are not even going to be able to go to school. So now what are we going to be doing? But anyway, we have Eric on the line right now. And I want to say, hi, Eric. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, fine. My son, how are you doing?
What's up, Ma?
Okay. What's up, Eric? The Custodial Support Foundation. Suppose you tell us about it because, you know, this is really exciting. And at the same time, you know, it's so pathetic because of the fact that the people who are suffering, I had no idea it was in numbers like this, that, you know, some custodial parents were supposed to be paying for their child, for their children, and they're not doing it. Why? What's going on?
It's kind of a problem that's at epidemic proportions.
In my
opinion. And what's happening is Guy Patterson is a college chum,
mm-hmm.
a friend of mine, has founded this foundation, and he's trying to jump it off and develop it and jump it off, build it, kick it off the ground. And it's a very, very good program. It's something that's close to his heart, and I think that it's something that's needed. Clearly, unpaid child support is something that contributes to a lot of single parents being almost in poverty status. And you know, the flip side of that too is also, you know, we're talking about non-custodial parents or who they like to call deadbeat parents. We're not talking about the parents who want to do the right thing. We're not talking about the parents who can't afford and are having trouble paying their child support. We're talking about individuals who can pay the child support and choose not to handle their responsibilities. And those are the type of people that...
you know, you have to go after, really. So this foundation actually can have a way for them to go after these people who are owing their... child support payments, but they're not. Is that it? I'm quite sure that today we're going to be talking to Kai Patterson. Their mission of the Custodial Support Foundation is to provide custodial parents with services to receive the child support their children deserve. And they provide non-custodial parents with the child support resource to reduce the more than $100 billion, I can't even say that without, you know, getting a shiver. $100 billion? I can't even say it.
I don't know. I'm back with you guys.
Odin child support arrears, Eric. This is just, it's incredible.
I don't know if it's $100 billion or if it's $100 million. Is it $100 billion?
It says $100 billion. Well, it could be $100 million, but there is a big difference. But the point is, it's a whole heck of a lot of money. All right?
Right.
What happens with these kids when they don't have money to, you know, to survive?
Well, you know, sometimes you have children that don't have an opportunity to realize their potential.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and Kai will get into that, sometimes you have kids who have opportunities that they could have taken advantage of in terms mm-hmm. of education and in terms of, you know,
yeah.
their future that they can't take advantage of because mm-hmm. of these things. So, you know, we need to really correct this situation. We
yeah.
need to establish a new a way of life.
Okay.
In people's lives, a new way. I mean, sometimes it's almost generational.
Yeah.
Certain segments of generations have been lost. Their contributions have been lost.
Yeah. Eric, so, you know, we have to take a break. What we want to do, we have to take a break right now. I've gone over that time. But what we're going to be doing is we're going to take a break, and then we're going to get, are we going to be getting Kai Peterson on the phone? Kai, are we going to be getting him on the phone? And Eric, please stay on the phone, because we're going to be talking to him in just a very short period of time. We will be right back, everyone. I'm Kay Thompson. I'm in for Gus Henningberg, who will be with us next week or the week after. So stay with us. Kay Thompson.
This ain't America. You can't fool me. This here's the home of the sheriff, not the land of the free. In America, folks don't run through the street, blood screaming from where they've been beat. And the power is for the people. And the cops. In the good old USA, don't think they're some kind of gods either. No, this ain't America. You can't fool me. If you don't spit the right image, they just pull out there the EDD. If they just don't like the way you look, they just lord all and trick, just trip name and frame and blame. And they just say and blow away and just laugh louder and louder. Nah, this ain't America. You can't fool me. Nah, this ain't America. You can't fool me.
Melvin Van Peebles, Love That Is America. Boy, I'm telling you. I love that. I like that, especially with the topic that we're dealing with today. We are going to be getting on the line Kai Patterson, who is the CEO, the founder of the nonprofit foundation called Custodial Support Foundation. And we have been talking about it. This is a foundation that gets the custodial money that is owed for children from the different parents. Now, I need for him to be telling us a little more about this. So let's cue in once again Eric Payne. Eric, are you there? Eric is still on. And then Kai Patterson is on. So we're trying to get them up now. Let me give you some more information about this. Is Kai Patterson on?
Yes, I am.
How are you?
I'm fine, yourself?
Fine, thank you. Fine, thank you. I haven't seen you in a long time. Is that it?
Yes, it's been a long time.
Down there at Hampton University, am I right?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. What did
I do? It was called Institute back then when we were so old.
Look, did you have to age me? Thank you very much, Kai.
I aged myself in the process. Don't worry about it.
But listen, I remember, what did I do? I came, went out in the hall in the dormitory and grabbed your hand and said, come meet my son.
That's right. You did that. My first day, you said, come meet your son. And it was funny because I told you about the news article that I had read. That was in the Star Ledger about him before we went down to Hampton. And that's how we met.
Yes. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah.
That's how we met.
Can't hear you.
Is our reception good?
Yes, I think it is. We're okay now.
Okay, great. Excellent.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Okay. So, no, I was saying that I met you. That's how I met you.
Yeah.
So.
Well, anyway, tell us about your foundation. I mean, this is something that is so needed. I can't believe the numbers that I'm seeing about the children that this is affecting, you know?
Yes. Am I on the air now?
Sure. Yes, you are.
Oh, wonderful. Well, the Custodial Support Foundation, I founded it and I created it to assist parents owe child support because I grew up as a child of a single parent mother who never received child support. And I was, when I was growing up, I grew up in Newark. It was rare to even meet anyone or any one of my friends' fathers. You know, unfortunately, most of us, we just didn't have, fathers that were active in our lives. But I just assumed that, this was something associated, growing up in an inner city. And recently I've learned that there are currently about 25 million parents that are owed child support. And of those 25 million parents, about 12.5 million have child support orders, but the child support agencies are unable to collect.
My goodness, 25 million. Good Lord.
And that represents over $100 billion in child support arrears.
Wow, billion. You said billion as in B?
As in B. $100 billion is owed in child support arrears as of 2011, and that number increases every single day.
Mm-hmm. What can be done about this? I mean, how did you happen to, decide to put this foundation together? Other than your own experiences, I mean, did you know people who were having all these problems? Kids who certainly had a lot of other problems because they couldn't have that money that they could have had if they had had their custodial support.
Absolutely. When I started looking into the numbers, I didn't know whether to take on an initiative to provide a solution because I just want a foundation that provided information. I wanted to put together an organization to provide a solution. So I spent the last 2 years examining the problem intensively. I've interviewed tons of single parents, custodial parents, mothers and fathers who are custodial parents. And one of the major problems is that the system is limited to attempting to collect child support via conventional means.
Wow, okay.
That is the number one problem. And non-custodial parents that do not want to pay, they typically relocate. They avoid, the custodial parents' calls. But they can do things like, not work or work, on a 1099, start a company instead of taking a payroll check as a W-2 or W-4, which the systems are only created to deduct or garnish from a paycheck. The systems are not created to garnish from an individual who pays himself or works on a 1099 or gets paid through a contract.
Yeah.
So,
and
currently the system that are in place in most states, and the systems vary, most systems are not set up to be able to automatically determine bank accounts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So a custodial parent is actually left to having to hire an attorney, actually get a private investigative agency, and sue the non-custodial parent to enforce their rights as a litigant to be able to seize and liquidate the non-custodial parent's assets.
But how does the parent afford to do that?
Exactly. That is so expensive, considering that the average parent in America is owed about $8,000 in child support arrears. That's the typical. If you take $100 billion and you divide it by 12.5 million, you get roughly $8,000. So now you have a parent who's owed $8,000, but yet they would have to spend upwards of $10,000 to $15,000 to collect child support arrears. So what I decided to do was create the Custodial Support Foundation to assist another initiative that I have, which is a company called Bounty Alert. And what we do is we actually provide cost-effective solutions for parents to be able to acquire the assets of the non-custodial parents. And we have a collection agency that will literally provide the private investigative services to determine the assets of a custodial of a non-custodial parent before we actually take on the case, so that when we take on the case, we know that we're able to service a parent.
All right. Now, Kai, listen. Now, this sounds like this is an enormous, you know, undertaking, and you've set up this foundation. Now, but how can the average parent pay? I mean, in other words, how much do they have to pay you to, to avail themselves of your services?
Well, actually, I created the foundation to provide cost-effective and actually free programs. We have free programs, and we're going to be rolling out free programs, but even our paid program, a custodial parent can only has to pay 13 payments of $30 plus $10 shipping and handling of their court documents.
Wait, did you say free programs?
We're going to have free programs, for individuals that are unemployed,
yes,
and are on state programs.
Mm-hmm.
And we have our paid program requires that a parent only pay $400, but they can pay it in 13 payments of $30.
Wow.
Plus $10 shipping and handling. So it's so cost effective, and we provide every service that they would need. We help custodial parents get a warrant, so we'll prepare the certification to enable the court to issue an arrest warrant against a non-custodial parent for non-payment of child support and for not obeying the order.
All right,
let
me get this straight. You actually do all the legwork. In other words, you will do the application for them. You will show them exactly what to do. And if you cannot afford to pay, it's a free program. Am I correct?
Correct. We're actually in the process of putting, we're going to roll out the free program effectively in December, which will enable custodial parents who are unemployed, or who are on state assisted programs such as welfare or any type of disability. We will allow those parents to subscribe to our service free of charge.
Wow! Oh boy! Wow!
And they will receive literally $17,000 worth of legal, private investigative, and collection. We don't just stop at getting the order. We actually have the collection agency seize the assets, liquidate them, and pay the arrears, as well as reimburse the parent for their out-of-pocket expenses for our service.
Wow.
And that $400 that they get, they pay, they will get that back.
So do you realize
how
many people who are listening to you today who have been needing a service like this for years because they have not been able to get any custodial money from their spouse, whether it's a man or a woman, and they never seem to have the money to do all these things that have to be done before you even go into court. In other words, you give them legal services, you provide them with an investigator, and you actually have your people go out and collect the funds for them. And because of a custodial parent who is not paying for their child. That's incredible.
Correct.
That is absolutely wonderful. How did you happen to think of this?
Believe it or not, it just, I don't know. You know, it just was a need. And,
yeah,
and I sat down and I interviewed attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to these attorneys, what if you were an attorney and you had, and I also talked with individuals who work for child support enforcement agencies,
yeah,
or prosecutors, and I said, if you had your wish list, what could be done to collect? And they basically told me, this is what's needed. So I decided, okay, if this is what's needed, we actually put together some case studies, and we spoke with various judges. We spoke to, you know, individuals who actually are you know, leaders in various bar associations, and we collectively came up with the process that's needed. And then I said, well, how can we streamline it? So I put together a 24-hour call center that will enable parents to call day and night.
Mm-hmm.
And we also help parents who've never filed. If for the 25 million parents that are owed child support, half of them have never filed for child support. So we have a free program that will provide you with, excuse me,
okay,
the instructions, the locations, and what's needed,
wow,
to file for child support.
Okay.
As well as the directions.
I want you to hold on. This is so good. Now, let me give the number out. People can reach you by 855-851-4357. Is that correct?
Correct. It's, and
right,
that translates into 855-851-HELP.
Okay. 855-851-HELP. We're coming back to you. And we want to come back with Eric because I think he has something to add to. This is incredible. This is help that people need. This is honest to goodness help with your custodial money that you are due. 855-851-HELP. That's the number to call for the Custodial Support Foundation and to talk to Clive Patterson. We will be right back. Stay with us, everyone.
Baby, you love is found.
Everyone, I'm Kay Thompson, and Gus Henneberg is not here with me tonight, although he is listening in. Hi, Gus. Hope you're feeling well. You know, we are talking to Kai Patterson about the Custodial Support Foundation, and we are talking to Eric Payne about the Custodial Support Foundation. Eric and Kai went to school together at Hampton Institute, everyone. So really, this is something that you need to find out about. If you need this kind of support, financial support, because you're not able to get that money, you need to get this number and talk to Kai, 855-851-HELP, 855-851-HELP. A lot of the services are free of charge. This is a support foundation. Eric, so what do you think here? Tell me more about this foundation. Kai is fantastic.
Thank you.
I think Kai's got a very good program there. Kai, why don't you describe, are you doing, what type of community outreach things? I mean, I've been off the line for a minute. We were having a little technical difficulty on my end. But what kind of community outreach in terms of through maybe churches or other type of programs have you been doing?
Well, actually, we ran a pilot, which basically consisted of hosting a few child support workshops because we wanted to vet the process before we began taking on a critical mass of custodial parents. And now we're getting ready to launch a PSA, a public service announcement, and we're also going to be launching a talk show and then a series of workshops nationwide. We actually have individuals that are custodial parents that have come on as volunteers in various regions across the country to support parents locally in getting the services that we provide.
That's beautiful. So you have people across the country, and these community outreach or these workshops take place, what, at churches or what type of environments?
Recently they've been at churches, but, you know, we're looking to expand. We're actually trying to put together a program with various YMCAs. Here we are actually going to be putting together a program with the YMCA to not only allow the general public to participate in workshops, but the YMCA, believe it or not, a lot of YMCA facilities actually house parents who are on state assistance and provide housing. So and several of those custodial parents are owed child support. So, you know, and obviously if they're non-custodial parents were doing or putting or helping, you know, most of those parents would not be in those positions.
So, you know, I think that going by way of the route of getting into the churches, you know, I think this is going to be a really very, very good program, you know, to get to the people who are going into churches because of the fact that, you know, our community, this is the best way to get to the Black community, let's face it. And thank goodness it's there. Thank goodness the Black church is there and thriving and quite well, especially in New Jersey and around. If you've ever been to Gospel Fest at Prudential or any of the other places, you know, so many people from the church come out and boy, do they help. Tons and tons of people. So your program, Kai, we've got to, you know, keep on letting people know about it because it's so important. It's so important to the average person who's a single mother or a single father, and they are due custodial help. Am I right, Eric?
That's correct. Kai, you related a story to me about a child that couldn't realize their potential in terms of educational opportunities. Maybe you want to go into that.
Yeah.
Because of the custodial issues.
We ran a pilot, and we received an outpour of parents that subscribed to our services. And one parent actually, we had two specific cases. One parent was the custodial parent, and she was not the sole custodial parent, and her son was selected in a gifted program to go away to France this summer. And he required a passport that required the signature of the non-custodial parent, and the non-custodial parent hadn't been in the child's life for years, so she was unable to get the signature, and thus her son had to forfeit the opportunity to go away to France to study, which was sponsored and paid for. Now, another situation we have is we actually have custodial parents who come to us and say, well, the non-custodial parent of my child has his income being hidden by other people, family members, new girlfriends, wives, and most of those individuals are not aware of the fact that, and this is what I wanted to get out, in 1988, the Child Support Recovery Act was signed into legislature, which makes it a federal crime for you to assist someone in not paying child support. And most individuals don't know this.
And they should certainly know this because they will be in big trouble.
Exactly. So if you are an employer and you decide to, instead of paying someone via a W-2 or a W-4 and you put them on a 1099 or you pay them under the table, that those are federal crimes. And what we do is we actually teach custodial parents, in addition to supporting them, the federal crimes that are associated with not paying child support. As a matter of fact, if you relocate to another state and you owe more than $10,000 in child support arrears, you have just committed a federal crime.
Listen, I need people to call you. I know there are a lot of people, you know, who need your service and can't afford it. So you're going to be giving a lot of this away for free. All right. So apparently, well, if you want to know, it's 855-851-HELP. That's 855-851-HELP. Think about the children. Think about the children and what this can mean, you know.
And
I actually have on the line the president of the Custodial Support Foundation. Her name is Samantha Gonzalez, and she actually was a parent that was owed child support for years, and she's taken on, you know, supporting this initiative and working with custodial parents. And she's actually on the line as we speak.
Okay, are you there, Samantha? Hello, are you there? Well, you know, we're going to have to tie this up right now, I think, because we are, you know, we have some sort of technical difficulty, and we do want to continue this. But, Ty, if you can hear me, what we're going to be doing is getting you on again, because this is something that's in the community, because we're talking about the very lives and the careers of our children. We're talking about the fact that they cannot even go to school and go on to school anyway because of the nature of the way the community and the, you know, and the country is right now. Everybody needs a job and everybody needs, you know, to have money and can't do it because of the fact that the country is in such a bad shape financially. So, you know, we will be doing this again to offer this kind of help, you know, to people listening in. So thank you very much, Kai Patterson, and thank you very much, Eric Payne. And we will be right back, everyone. Eric, you want to say another word before we leave for a break?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's a little bit of a story about Kai and I being roommates in college, but that will be for another show that we'll talk about.
Okay.
We also have a website, custodialsupport.org.
Okay, and we will be talking to, you know, Samantha at another time. Thank you very much, Kai Patterson. Custodial Support Foundation is the name of this foundation. You can reach them by 855-851-HELP. 855-851-HELP, and you will be hearing more about them. We'll be right back, everyone. Stay with us for more.
Bring the beat in. Honey, honey, I can see the stars all the way from here. Can't you see the glow on the window pane? I can feel the sun whenever you're here. Every time you touch me, I just melt away. So everybody ask me why I'm smiling, I'm just here to hear. Come on, baby, it's you.
looking at my face as we turn the night away. Boy, you look like the night of champagne. And look at you again.
And we're back, everyone. Kay Thompson here. Gus Henningberg is listening in. I'm quite sure. Hi, Gus Henningberg. Hope you're feeling well. We will be seeing you very, very shortly. Kay and Gus show here in, where are we, Tyana Washington, whose father is Ty Washington. How are you?
I'm good.
Good, good. I'm so glad. Where are we right now? We're broadcasting or cable casting or blog casting out of
the studio and on Blog Talk Radio in the studio of...
What's the name of the studio?
Black Wax Moving Images.
I'm sorry?
Black Wax Moving Images.
Black Wax Moving Images, and we're located in Jersey City.
Mm-hmm.
And your dad is the founder and the CEO of Black Wax Moving Images, and without him, we would not be able to do the show.
Mm-hmm.
This is a beautiful studio. You know every piece of equipment in here, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Really? Wow. And you're 16.
Mm-hmm.
So you know... The board in there, you know this, what is this called right here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is like the teleprompter screen. It's like a teleprompter operator, but only it's a computer, right? So every high-tech thing is in mm-hmm. this studio.
Yeah.
You know, and I love it. You know, it was on the air, you know, years ago for a number of years over at WLIB, and then also for a show called North Jersey Magazine coming out of William Patterson College, and then... New Jersey Press Conference, which was Spanish TV, and yo no hablé inglés, español, único inglés. That means, I don't speak Spanish, only English. But that was an interesting time, you know, having the only English speaking show on Channel 47, and then NJN in New Jersey, and then WLIV Radio,
mm-hmm.
you know, and radio to me is very important. So, what you doing with your life?
School,
yeah. Well, you know, we were talking earlier about, you know, a topic that I think, you know, is really in the news. I'm talking about bullying,
mm-hmm.
and I'm talking specifically about mean girls,
mm-hmm.
you know. So have you come across any mean girls?
I mean, yes. I mean, I believe that everybody has encountered the mean girls in their school.
Mm-hmm. Not everybody. Bullies. Some people will tell you that they've never encountered mm-hmm. them, you know, but a lot of people have.
A lot of people who are in school mm-hmm. will just find someone who mm-hmm. is that mean person.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Why do you think this happens? I mean, what's going on with these kids? I don't remember there being a lot of mean girls when I was in junior high school. Of mm-hmm. course, that was 100 years ago. However,
I just feel like the girls who are mean, like the mm-hmm. mean girls or mean guys, the bullies, are mainly just very insecure about themselves. Or they can just be having trouble and they just don't want anybody to know, so they hide it with their meanness, I guess.
Yeah.
That's like mainly the common issue.
Have you come across that kind of situation or those situations in your school?
Yes, of course. From junior high school, I've been bullied.
Mainly it starts in junior high school?
I think that bullying, you start to understand that that's bullying mm. in middle school.
Mm.
You know, elementary school, when you're like 10 years old, that doesn't. But from like 11 to 13, you see that these people are
that
being mean.
That is that middle school, what they used to call the junior high school,
mm-hmm.
you know, area, right?
Yeah. You like,
years, rather.
Yeah, junior. Those are junior high
when years. You're just feeling your oats.
Yeah, like you realize, like, oh, this person is making fun of me. Like, usually in elementary school, you really don't mind it because you're new to the world. You're still young. And then junior, I mean, not saying that you're young in junior high school, but then you start to realize that these kids are being mean to me.
Yeah.
And it really hurts your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So in high school, I mean, most girls, as they usually talk about you. And I just feel like me, I just, you know, leave it alone. I ignore it, you know. Just that's me. Some girls may handle it in a totally different kind of way.
Yeah, some girls and some guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, will just about fall
mm-hmm.
apart.
Yeah.
And we've all been hearing stories about, you know, those kids who have, you know, committed suicide or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say that's very extreme. I don't know if that's extreme because people can be really, really pretty mean, especially
mm-hmm.
young kids in the junior high school. I would say having taught school, the junior high school age
mm-hmm.
is the most difficult age to teach.
Mm-hmm.
They can be pains in the butt.
Yes.
And every person who's ever taught right now is listening mm-hmm. to me saying amen.
Like me.
All right. You're growing up. You're feeling your oats, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, you're pains in the neck at that particular time. Mm-hmm. I don't want to say where else you're in pain, but it's true.
Like if I'm doing community service in another school, I see these kids, and I'm like, that's how I was, you know, when I was, like, young and their age.
Yeah.
Like, they're just all over the place, and I can see why that can be painful. They just say mean things, and I think that they don't understand how hurtful they can be. So you get to you start seeing, oh, this is how it's affecting them.
Yeah, and some of them know full well what they're doing. They're not stupid.
Yes, I agree.
You know,
you just got two different kinds of bullies.
And when you get to the high school area, you would think that, you know, high school kids, girls, boys would get out of that. And because they're taking it on to a different level. But I think it's probably, I can't say probably because I don't know numbers, but I think the majority of this is happening with that junior high going into high school.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe from what, the 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th?
And probably the end of 9th.
Yeah, the end of the 9th.
That's when it stops.
Because after that, you're an adult, and you know you can be charged.
Yeah, you can
in court of law.
They say anything, it's like, oh, I heard it before.
But
it's,
going through that period is really, really
it all depends on the kind of person that you are.
Yeah.
If you're, you don't even have to be confident. If you know who you are, and you know that you're not what they're calling you, then it shouldn't affect you.
Yeah.
And I know that some of my friends who do get made fun of by bullies, not necessarily mean girls, just by bullies, they get affected by it, and I try to tell them that they shouldn't get affected by it because that's not who you are. They don't
know. What would you tell them to do in lieu of, instead of, really reacting to the mean girls? The mean girls mean nothing.
They just want your attention, and if you're going to give it to them, if you get hurt by it, you should just leave it alone because that's what they want. They want you to get mad. And I just think that they're...
And then it will escalate into something like a fight or something like
that's
that?
That's usually what they either want to fight, they're, haters, they just need something to do.
I wonder where they get that from. Also, do cell phones add to this?
It's a big way to bully someone.
Yeah, yeah.
And opposed to saying it to their face, usually people will probably text it, Facebook it, tweet it, I don't know.
And do a lot of kids react to that? Why not? In other words, a lot of parents will say, well, why don't you just put your cell phone down? Don't even respond to them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even give your name out. Don't even have friends on Facebook.
I agree, but things, when you have a cell phone, when you have Facebook, that gets shown to a lot of people.
Yeah, once you get
I wouldn't
on.
Say a cell phone mostly, but some kids get teased on Facebook.
Yeah.
And that's big. People can see it. People can comment on it. And it's kind of, it's kind of sad. And I can understand why some, may feel like the need to commit suicide, to harm themselves.
Yeah.
But I think that they should, it's going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think that they should do anything to harm themselves.
It's going to get better because they're going to get old.
Mm-hmm. They're going to get older.
They're
going to
grow out of that whole thing. But at the same time, the immediate thing is they're doing damage to another person.
Mm-hmm.
How can I know I shouldn't be asking this of you because you're a student, but how do you suggest, or could you suggest a way, or how can schools deal with it? How would you suggest a teacher deal with it?
Or as a teenager, you really do not want teachers getting involved because then next thing you know, I know this kid in my school right now who's having a hard time because he told us on a senior, and now the senior has the prom and everything taken away, and I guess the senior is cool, so now everybody's calling the little freshman like a snitch and stuff.
Yeah, and he did the right thing.
But but as a teenager, when you're called a snitch, you'd rather just be bullied.
Yeah.
Because then you're just bullied all over again and all over again.
So telling a teacher would be, difficult.
I say don't even look at him. Just ignore him.
Mm-hmm.
They try to talk to you, be like, oh, you talking to me? Just ignore him. Don't even look at him. Don't pay him no mind.
Yeah, make sure they're not there. But sometimes they really are persistent.
Mm-hmm.
Having taught school, I've known some of those little classes.
And as
a teacher, what I did was, when I found out about it, I immediately called the parents, got the parents together, and had the parents face one another and deal with this issue. And if they couldn't, then, look, I would say there's legal services, so what do you want to do?
Just ignore it.
Yeah.
It may be tough at the time, but then when you get older, you start to realize
that you could have done harm to someone. And then sometimes, what goes around comes around.
Yeah, exactly.
This is what I always tell, a lot of kids, for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are ready to take an equal and the opposite reaction that's going to come around, then you deal with putting out those negative vibes, because those negative vibes have a tendency to come right back at you.
That's why I wish some kids would just not, you know, get so stuck up on the fact that what they're saying, just to wait. It's all, because it will get better.
It
they're
going
to leave the school, like the freshman. The senior is going to be gone next year.
Yeah.
He's not going to bother you anymore. You got sophomore, junior, and senior year to live your life and not worry about bullies.
Okay. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. Still talking to Tiana Washington. I'm Kay Thompson. Hello to Gus Hindenburg over there in New Jersey. And we will be right back. What am I saying over there in New Jersey? Like I'm not in New Jersey. We're in Jersey City, New Jersey, everyone. We're Black Wax. BW, Moving Images. Fantastic. Wonderful thing. Rick, did you like that movie? That used by Melvin?
Oh, yeah. I'm taking my freedom, pulling it off the shelf, putting it on my chain, wearing it round my neck. I'm taking my freedom, putting it in my car, wherever I choose to go, it won't take me far.
Okay, everyone, we are back. I'm Kay Thompson, and this is the Kay Thompson and Gus Hindenburg Show. We are here on Blog Talk Radio, and we are broadcasting or cablecasting or blogcasting, you know, from Jersey City, from BW Moving Images. Ty Washington is here. Ayanna Washington is here. Ayanna Jones is here. Shona Glover is here. Ayanna Washington is here. Ty Two Washington is here. Who am I missing? Lisa Payne is here. But anyway, you know, in talking to the Meaning Girls, you know, we're going to tie this up. But, you know, I just want to say hello to a lot of people that I may have missed. By the way, you know, it's talking about, you know, hospitals. You know, I just went with a little hospitalization, you know, for myself having tests done and whatnot. I want to let people know when you're going into hospital, please have the necessary information that you have to have. You need your identification. You need your license. You need your medical information. So, and sometimes people forget that. And if you're taking medicine, take the medicine with you. And also, if you're taking medicine, take a list of the medicine with you. Be surprised how really smooth things go at that particular time. When I was in, you know, for a test and whatnot, some people didn't have that information. And they had to go back and come back. And it was so awkward and so terrible. So that's just a little bit of advice that I, you know, Gus and I found out. But anyway, now, you know, I want to tie this up in a minute, Tiana, but talking about little kids, You know, we were talking, you were saying something very important, that you're telling kids, little kids, that everybody thinks that they're what? Ugly?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When they're a kid, everyone has that moment when they don't feel that confident.
Yeah,
they don't think that they look attractive. But then it all gets
all went through that.
Yes.
I do. Yeah.
And then you just
I'm
grow
cute
to
now.
Be...
And what should we tell them, though?
Just to stay confident. Like, don't worry. You're going to blossom out to be something beautiful if you don't like the way that you are.
That will pass. Because
to other people, you look beautiful the way you are. But you always have that. You always criticize. What's that saying? You're yourself's worst critic.
Uh-huh. You're yourself. What? Say
you're yourself. You are yourself's worst critic.
You are
critic.
Your own worst critic.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, just don't pay attention. Although I always said to people, too, that you develop a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, have fun with it. If somebody says something to you, you know, tell them a joke and say, hey, look, fine. And just laugh at it. Now, that may irritate some people, but you've got to develop a sense of humor and also a very, very certain strength that you have to have that comes from inside.
Yeah, because when I was a kid, they used to call me by a name by some famous person that I didn't like.
Uh-huh.
And I used to get affected. Like, I used to cry about it. And then usually I was like, hey, I should own up to that name.
Yeah.
So when they call me, I was like, yes.
Yeah.
You know, I used to. And then it all passes.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, it doesn't hurt her anymore.
Yeah. And I want to tell the parents, too, that, you know, when this happens to one of your children, you have to be the person who cuddles them.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be the person who says to them, are you serious? Look in the mirror. And what do you see?
Mm-hmm.
You know, really. And you have to really have a wonderful sense of humor. You know, and you have to laugh. You have to have fun in your life. You have to have a sense that you can laugh at just about anything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't, then you're going to punch somebody. No, don't say it. No, but I'm Kate Thompson, everybody. And Gus Henningberg will be here probably next week or the week after. But we wish him well. And we've had a good time tonight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, got a lot of information about the Custodial Support Foundation. And everybody, I have to say, too, now, if you want to tell your life story, and by the way, I'm writing a book about my story, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to tell your life story, or if you think that you want to put your story on film, you know, or on video, you need to talk to and contact BW Moving Images here in Jersey City. What Ty and Ayana and Shauna and Ty, too, and you, Tayana and Tati, et cetera, et cetera. And Ayana Jones and Shauna Glover and Lisa Payne and everything. What we all do is, especially with under Ty's leadership, is, you know, some pretty creative stuff. You know, I'm really, really very glad that you guys exist. You know, and thanks to you and your father, he's pretty smart. You hear that? I want to be paid for this, Ty. Anyway, we will. Ty, too, is in there laughing. We will be back next week and. Some really interesting things coming up. I expect to be talking to Tony Johnson, who has written a book about how to anti-aging. You see these wrinkles I have right here? They're going to disappear just like that. Okay? They're going to disappear. I'm going to be talking to Anna Phillips, who used to be the senior producer for 2020, you know, on ABC. So we're going to be talking to her. Really exciting information that she has. We've known each other for many, many years. And a number of other people. So, everyone, we will talk next week. I'm Kay Thompson. For Gus Henningberg, and this has been the K and Gus Show.
As we enter, come the critic of one of the biggest adventure. Must be the venture that you ever thought you could touch. I present you. What's the addition? You be Jamrock, the lyrical official. Send out. Burn candles, say prayers, paint mirrors. It is true, we big news, we hood heroes. For us to anchor, we come for bunker. On a bad man, we not play really wonka. And I got the nerd, I got the teacher. We can blaze it up on your block if you wanna. Or case it up, stash box in a Hummer. Or you can run up and get done up. Or get something that you want none of. Unlimited amount to collect from us. Direct from us, we're intellectual. And I'm shrewd about decimals. And my man to speak patois. And I can speak rap star, y'all feel me. Even if it's in Swahili, I'm body Ghani. So do what it's honor. To drop the language, I move for Ghana. Salute and honor, real revolution rhymers. Written piranhas like two Obamas. Unfold the truth. Word is out, hysteria you heard about. Now I've been to the gun, gonna turn it out. Fighting the first, so let's be murdered out. The king is back, time to return the crown. Move on it, tuck your chain with you coming. Renegades and a Prince of Kingston, cause not we use and govern the kingdom. Rise of the week. I can see the fear up in your eyes, realize you could die in the instant. Knocking at the sound of your voice, and you must lose your life like.